This is Ted O'Connell, and this is the first half of the psychiatry chapter from USMLE Step 2 Secrets, 5th edition. Question 1. What are the 5 main diagnostic criteria for schizophrenia? 1. Delusions. 2. Hallucinations. 3. Disorganized speech. 4. Grossly disorganized or catatonic behavior. 5. Negative symptoms, that is, flat affect and avolition. Question 2. Why is the duration of symptoms important with psychosis? The time frame is important because given the exact same symptoms, a patient is given one of 3 different diagnoses based only on their duration. Less than 1 month is acute psychotic disorder. 1 to 6 months is schizophreniform disorder. More than 6 months is schizophrenia. Question 3. List the positive symptoms of schizophrenia. Delusions, bizarre behavior, hallucinations, and thought disorder, such as tangentiality and clanging. Positive symptoms are symptoms that occur in addition to normal behavior. Normal individuals do not exhibit these symptoms. Positive symptoms respond well to all currently used antipsychotics. Question 4. List the negative symptoms of schizophrenia. Flat affect, anhedonia, alogia, which is no speech, poor attention, avolition or apathy, and asociality. Negative symptoms are symptoms for which patients have lost some form of normal behavior. They have lost behaviors that normal individuals typically have. Negative symptoms respond poorly to traditional antipsychotics such as haloperidol, but may respond to atypical agents such as risperidone, olanzapine, aripiprazole, paliperidone, quetiapine, or ziprasidone. Question 5. What features of schizophrenia suggest a poor prognosis? Poor premorbid functioning, which is the most important factor, family history of schizophrenia, early onset, negative symptoms, no precipitating factors, poor support system, and single, divorced, or widowed status. Question 6. What features suggest a good prognosis? Good premorbid functioning, which is the most important factor, family history of mood disorders, late onset, positive symptoms, obvious precipitating factors, good support system, and married status. Question 7. What is the difference in age of onset for schizophrenia in males and females? The typical age of onset is 15 to 25 years for males, look for someone going to college and deteriorating, and 25 to 35 years for females. Question 8. True or false? Roughly 1% of the population has schizophrenia in almost every country in the world. True. Question 9. True or false? In the United States, most schizophrenic people are born in the summer months. False. Most schizophrenic patients in the United States are born in the winter, and the reason is unknown. Question 10. Roughly what percentage of patients with schizophrenia commit suicide? In the United States, roughly 10% of patients with schizophrenia eventually commit suicide, and a past attempt is the best predictor of eventual success. Question 11. True or false? Psychosocial treatment has been shown to improve outcomes in schizophrenia. True. Antipsychotic medications are the mainstay of therapy, but psychosocial treatment has been shown to improve outcomes. Medications are needed first, but the best treatment, as in most psychiatric illnesses, is medications plus therapy. Question 12. Differentiate among the classes of antipsychotic drugs. The prototype high-potency drug is haloperidol. It has a high incidence of extrapyramidal side effects, a low incidence of autonomic nervous system side effects, works well for patients with positive symptoms, and works poorly for patients with negative symptoms. The prototypical low-potency drug is chlorpromazine. It has a low incidence of extrapyramidal side effects, has a high incidence of autonomic side effects, works well for patients with positive symptoms, and works poorly for patients with negative symptoms. And then the atypical agents, including risperidone, olanzapine, aripiprazole, paliperidone, quetiapine, and ziprasidone. It should be noted that the atypical newer antipsychotics are generally first-line treatment and maintenance therapy due to reduced extrapyramidal side effects and efficacy with negative symptoms. Generally choose them over older agents. So these atypical agents have a low incidence of extrapyramidal side effects, a medium incidence of autonomic nervous system side effects. They work well for patients with positive symptoms and work fairly well for patients with negative symptoms. Question 13, what are the four commonly tested extrapyramidal side effects of antipsychotics? Acute dystonia, akathisia, Parkinsonism, and tardive dyskinesia. Question 14, define acute dystonia. How is it treated? Acute dystonia is an extrapyramidal movement disorder that occurs in the first few hours or days of treatment. Patients develop prolonged muscle spasms or stiffness, such as torticollis or trismus, tongue protrusions and twisting, opisthotonos, and or oculogyric crisis, which is forced sustained deviation of the head and eyes. Acute dystonia is most common in young men. Treat with antihistamines such as diphenhydramine or anticholinergic drugs such as benztropine or trihexyphenidyl. Question 15, define akathisia. Akathisia occurs in the first few days to weeks of treatment. The patient has a subjective feeling of restlessness and may pace constantly, alternate sitting and standing, and be unable to sit still. Beta blockers can be tried for treatment. Question 16. Describe the relationship between antipsychotics and Parkinsonism. Parkinsonism usually occurs in patients taking antipsychotics within the first few days to months of treatment. It is thought that Parkinsonism develops because of dopamine depletion, but that psychosis develops because of too much dopamine in the brain, which is a gross oversimplification. Thus, antipsychotics create an iatrogenic decrease in effective dopamine in the brain by blocking dopamine receptors. The patient develops stiffness, cogwheel rigidity, a shuffling gait, mask-like facies, and drooling. Parkinsonism is most common in older women. Treat with antihistamines, such as diphenhydramine, or an anticholinergic agent, such as benztropine or trihexyphenidyl. Question 17, define tardive dyskinesia. When does it occur? Tardive dyskinesia appears after years of treatment with antipsychotics. Most commonly, the patient develops painless perioral movements that include darting, protruding movements of the tongue, chewing, grimacing, and puckering. The patient may also have involuntary choreoathetoid movements of the head, limbs, and trunk. There is no known treatment for tardive dyskinesia. If you are asked to make a choice when the patient develops tardive dyskinesia, discontinue the current antipsychotic and consider switching to a second-generation agent, such as clozapine or risperidone. Anticholinergic medications or decreasing the antipsychotic may initially worsen the tardive dyskinesia. Question 18. What is neuroleptic malignant syndrome? How do you recognize and treat it? Neuroleptic malignant syndrome is a life-threatening condition that can occur at any time during antipsychotic treatment. Patients classically develop lead pipe rigidity, tachycardia, profuse diaphoresis, mutism, obtundation, agitation, a high fever of up to 107 degrees Fahrenheit, very high levels of creatine phosphokinase, more than four times the upper normal limit, sweating, and myoglobinuria. Treat first by discontinuing the antipsychotic, then give supportive care for fever and potential renal failure caused by myoglobinuria, primarily intravenous fluids. Lastly, consider dantrolene, just as in malignant hyperthermia, which is thought to be a similar condition. Question 19, describe the relationship between antipsychotics and prolactin levels. Dopamine blockade causes increases in prolactin levels because dopamine is a prolactin inhibiting factor in the tuberoinfundibular tract of the brain. The end result may be high serum prolactin levels, resulting in galactorrhea and impotence, menstrual dysfunction, and/or decreased libido. Question 20. What are the classic side effects of thioridazine and chlorpromazine? For thioridazine, it is retinal pigment deposits. For chlorpromazine, it is jaundice and photosensitivity. Question 21. What are the side effects of the atypical antipsychotics? For olanzapine, it is weight gain, sedation, hypotension, and dry mouth. For quetiapine, it is sedation, orthostatic hypotension, akathisia, weight gain, and dry mouth. For ziprasidone, it is nausea, weakness, and mild QT prolongation. For aripiprazole, it is headache, nausea, akathisia, tremor, and constipation. For paliperidone, it is Parkinsonism, dystonia, dyskinesia, akathisia, and QT prolongation. For risperidone, it is increased prolactin and QT prolongation. For clozapine, it is orthostatic hypotension, weight gain, metabolic syndrome, sedation, constipation, and agranulocytosis, so white blood cell counts must be monitored. Question 22. Define bipolar disorder. What are the classic symptoms? Mania is the only criterion required for the diagnosis of bipolar disorder, but a history of depression is classically present. Remember the mnemonic DIG FAST for classic symptoms of mania, which include D for distractibility, I for insomnia, G for grandiosity, F for flight of ideas, A for agitation, S for sexual promiscuity, and T for talking with pressured speech. Look for initial onset between the ages of 16 and 30 years. Question 23. How is bipolar disorder treated? Both lithium and valproic acid are mood stabilizers and first-line agents. Typical antipsychotics, such as haloperidol, atypical antipsychotics, such as risperidone, quetiapine, clozapine, ziprasidone, and aripiprazole, carbamazepine, and gabapentin are second-line agents. Antipsychotics or antidepressants may be needed if the patient becomes psychotic or depressed. Use at the same time as the mood stabilizer. Question 24. What are the side effects of lithium, valproic acid, and carbamazepine? For lithium, it includes renal dysfunction in the form of diabetes insipidus, thyroid dysfunction, tremor, and central nervous system effects at toxic levels. For valproic acid, it is liver dysfunction, tremor, and gastrointestinal distress. For carbamazepine, it is bone marrow suppression, diplopia, ataxia, agranulocytosis, aplastic anemia, SIADH, and Stevens-Johnson syndrome. Question 25. Define bipolar II disorder and cyclothymia. Bipolar II disorder is hypomania, which is mild mania without psychosis that does not cause occupational dysfunction, plus major depression. Cyclothymia involves at least 2 years of hypomania alternating with depressed mood, but there are no full-blown episodes of mania or major depression. Question 26. List the major risk factors for suicide. Age greater than 45 years, prior psychiatric history, alcohol or substance abuse, depression, history of rage or violence, recent loss or separation, prior suicide attempts, loss of health, male gender. Men commit suicide 3 times more often than women, but women attempt it 4 times more often than men. Unemployed or retired status, single, widowed, or divorced status, access to weapons, and an organized plan. Question 27. What is the best predictor of future suicide? A past attempt. Question 28, true or false? Be careful in asking about suicide because you may plant the idea in the patient's head. False. Always ask a patient about suicidal thoughts. It does not make them more likely to commit suicide. If necessary, you should temporarily hospitalize an acutely suicidal patient against his or her will. Question 29, true or false? When patients are just emerging from a deep depression, they are at an increased risk of suicide. True. When the antidepressant begins to work, the patient gets a little more energy, possibly just enough to carry out a suicide plan. Question 30, true or false? The highest suicide rates are in people aged 15 to 24 years. False. Suicide rates are rising most rapidly in 15 to 24-year-olds, but the greatest absolute risk is in people older than 65 years. Question 31. Define depression. Depression, or major depressive disorder, as it is technically called, is defined by the DSM-5 as a depressed mood or a loss of interest or pleasure in daily activities for longer than 2 weeks. There is impaired function in social, occupational, or educational roles. At least 5 of the following 9 symptoms are present nearly every day, and one must be either depressed mood or decreased interest or loss of pleasure. These include depressed mood or irritability, decreased interest or pleasure in most activities, significant weight change or change in appetite, change in sleep, change in activity, psychomotor agitation or psychomotor retardation, fatigue or loss of energy, guilt or feelings of worthlessness, diminished ability to think or concentrate, and suicidality. Question 32, true or false? Patients with depression often do not complain about it directly. True. Patients often do not come out and say, "I'm depressed." You must watch for the clues, which include change in sleep habits and classically insomnia, vague somatic complaints, anxiety, low energy or fatigue, change in appetite, classically a decreased appetite, poor concentration, psychomotor retardation, and or anhedonia, which is loss of pleasure. The history may or may not reveal obvious precipitating factors, such as loss of loved ones, divorce or separation, unemployment or retirement, or chronic or debilitating disease. Question 33, how do you treat depression? As with most psychiatric illnesses, the treatment of choice is both medications in the form of antidepressants and psychotherapy. The combination is more effective than medications alone. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs, are usually the preferred first-line agents. Other options include serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, or SNRIs, and the tricyclic antidepressants. Bupropion and mirtazapine have unique modes of action. Question 34, is depression more common in males or females? Depression is more common in females. Question 35, what is an adjustment disorder with depressed mood? A diagnosis that you must be able to distinguish from major depressive disorder. In adjustment disorder, a patient goes through a normal life experience, such as a relationship breakup, failing grade, or job loss, but does not handle it well. There is marked distress that is in excess of what would be expected from exposure to the stressor, or that causes significant impairment in social or occupational functioning. Although patients may have a depressed mood, they do not meet the criteria for full-blown major depressive disorder, and symptoms do not last longer than 6 months. An example is a woman who divorces her husband, seems to cry a lot for the next few weeks, and leaves work early on most days. Another example is a high school boy who doesn't make the basketball team and mopes around the house, crying and not wanting to go to school or out with his friends for a few weeks. Question 36. Define persistent depressive disorder, previously called dysthymia. Persistent depressive disorder is a depressed mood on most days for more than 2 years without episodes of major depression, mania or hypomania, or psychosis. Question 37, true or false? Antidepressants can trigger mania or hypomania. True, especially in bipolar patients. Remember to ask about any history of manic episodes when considering treatment for depression. Question 38, how do SSRIs work? Why are they preferred over tricyclic antidepressants? SSRIs, such as fluoxetine, citalopram, paroxetine, sertraline, fluvoxamine, and escitalopram, prevent reuptake of serotonin only. They have less serious side effects, such as insomnia, anorexia, jitteriness, headache, and sexual dysfunction, and are not dangerous with overdose compared to tricyclics. Question 39, how do SNRIs work? SNRIs, such as venlafaxine, duloxetine, and desvenlafaxine, prevent reuptake of serotonin and norepinephrine. The side effects of SNRIs are similar to those of SSRIs, but also include noradrenergic symptoms such as sweating, dizziness, increased blood pressure, and sedation. Question 40. How do tricyclic antidepressants work? What are their side effects? Tricyclic antidepressants, such as nortriptyline and amitriptyline, prevent reuptake of norepinephrine and serotonin. They also block alpha-adrenergic receptors, so watch for orthostatic hypotension, dizziness, or falls. And they block muscarinic receptors, so watch for anticholinergic effects, such as dry mouth, blurred vision, constipation, and urinary retention. They cause sedation, which is an antihistamine effect, and lower the seizure threshold, especially bupropion, which technically is not a tricyclic. Tricyclic antidepressants are dangerous in overdose primarily because of cardiac arrhythmias, which may respond to bicarbonate. Remember the three C's of tricyclic antidepressant overdose: coma, convulsions, and cardiotoxicity. Question 41. What are the monoamine oxidase, or MAO, inhibitors? Describe their side effects. MAO inhibitors, such as phenylzine and tranylcypramine, are older medications that are not used as first-line agents for treatment of depression. They may be good for atypical depression. Look for hypersomnia and hyperphagia, the opposite of classic depression, that fails to respond to other agents. When patients taking MAO inhibitors eat tyramine-containing foods, especially wine and cheese, they may get a hypertensive crisis. Do not give MAO inhibitors at the same time as SSRIs or meperidine. Severe reactions such as serotonin syndrome can occur, possibly leading to death. Question 42. What is the most notorious side effect of trazodone? Priapism, which is persistent painful erection in the absence of sexual desire that may lead to permanent impotence if not treated. Question 43. Distinguish between normal grief and pathologic grief. Initial grief after a loss, such as the death of a loved one, may include a state of shock, a feeling of numbness or bewilderment, distress, crying, sleep disturbances, decreased appetite, difficulty in concentrating, weight loss, and guilt, including survivor guilt, for up to 1 year. In other words, the same symptoms as depression. It is normal to have an illusion or hallucination about the deceased, but a normal grieving person knows that it is an illusion, whereas a depressed person believes that it is real. Intense yearning, even years after the death, and even searching for the deceased are normal. Feelings of worthlessness, psychomotor retardation, and suicidal ideation are not signs of normal grief. They are signs of depression. Question 44. How do you recognize and treat panic disorder? Panic disorder classically affects 20 to 40-year-old patients who have an abrupt surge of intense fear or discomfort that reaches its peak within a few minutes. Patients often think that they are dying or having a heart attack, although in fact they are healthy and have a negative workup for organic disease. Females are more likely to have panic disorder in a 2-to-1 ratio compared to males. Patients often hyperventilate and are extremely anxious. They may experience tingling of the extremities, palpitations, sweating, trembling, sensation of shortness of breath, feelings of choking, chest pain, nausea, and fear of dying. Remember the association between panic disorder and agoraphobia, the fear of leaving the house. Treat with SSRIs such as fluoxetine, which are favored over benzodiazepines. Question 45. What is generalized anxiety disorder? How is it treated? Patients with generalized anxiety disorder worry about everything, such as career, family, future, relationships, and money at the same time. Symptoms are not as dramatic as in panic disorder. The patient is simply a severe worrier. Patients have difficulty controlling their worries and can have restlessness, fatigue, difficulty concentrating, irritability, muscle tension, and sleep disturbances. Treat with cognitive behavioral therapy and medications, such as SSRIs, especially if depressive symptoms coexist. They can also be treated with buspirone, an agonist of 5-hydroxytryptamine 1A serotonin receptor, which is non-addictive and non-sedating, but has a slow onset of action. Or you can treat with benzodiazepines, which are less preferred because they can be addictive and sedating. Question 46. Give the classic examples of simple phobias. How are they treated? Classic examples of simple phobias include fear of needles, blood products, animals, and heights. Treat with behavioral therapy, including flooding, sudden intense exposure to the feared object without a chance for escape, systematic desensitization, a gradual increase in intensity and type of exposure until the person is comfortable with intensive exposure to the feared object, and biofeedback, which is learning to control autonomic variables like heart rate during anxiety-inducing maneuvers. Question 47, what is social anxiety disorder? Social anxiety disorder, also known as social phobia, is a specific type of simple phobia, a fear of social situations, that is best treated with behavioral therapy. To reduce symptoms, beta blockers may be used before a public appearance that cannot be avoided, and SSRIs are increasingly being used as a primary treatment. SNRIs and benzodiazepines may also be used. Question 48. How do you recognize and treat post-traumatic stress disorder? Look for someone who has been through a life-threatening event, such as war, severe accident, or rape, repeatedly experiences the event through nightmares and flashbacks, and tries to avoid thinking about it. Patients can also have dissociative amnesia of the event, irritability, recklessness, or self-destructive behavior, depression, and poor concentration. Treat with peer group therapy. If you have to choose a medication, use an antidepressant, usually an SSRI. Note that post-traumatic stress disorder must have symptoms for longer than 1 month. Symptoms for less than 1 month indicate acute stress disorder. That is the end of this section.